Time now to Focus on the Community on WAMW. Focus on the Community presented by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Each week, we shine a spotlight on an important topic in our community and highlight it every weekend here on WAMW. And today, certainly one that's a hot topic and one that is definitely important to our community, Washington Community Schools. What's going on around the school? Of course, we heard a lot about the building project, where it stands, and also the start of a new school year, which is just around the corner. So perfect timing to have School Superintendent Dr. Dan Roach join us for an update this morning. Dr. Roach, thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
We've got a lot to cover here this morning, and I guess we'll just dive right in. It has been, to say the least, a busy summer for you and for staff and for everyone involved with what's going on with the school building project. So I guess we need to start at the beginning and go from there, how this came about and where we stand now and where we're going with the next step.
Sure. Since I arrived in 2012, there was an ongoing conversation regarding inequities in our elementaries. So that's truly where this started. And it even precedes me. It goes back as far as approximately 2006. A feasibility study was conducted at that time by Indiana State University Professor Dr. Robert Boyd. A small portion of that dealt with the problems with the imbalance in the elementary schools, given the fact that we had four elementaries within the district, K through six. But ultimately, the monies at that point in time were allocated toward the renovation and construction at the junior and senior high school. So the problem continued to persist over the next several years, and you know, here we are now. Same issues. We began formal conversations with the public 2 years ago. The first meeting was held at Lena Dunn, and that was in September of 2017. Over a period of time, there were actually 14 public meetings to gather public input in work sessions. And in some cases, it simply involved board members listening to small groups of community members at the various buildings. People were able to give their thoughts and put those on cards so that questions could then be researched to get back with individuals. But we knew ultimately we needed to bring in a financial advisor. We needed the architect. I think at that point it became a little cumbersome in the fact that we knew if we were looking originally at new elementaries, or did we go, in fact, the direction of adding on to our buildings? Did we look at grade level reconfigurations and so forth? But we found that we had so many different options, because in some cases it was a configuration that would be placed in one part of town or another. So I believe we had as many as 12 to 14 different options, but in some cases they were actually duplicated. But the price tag became quite expensive. I believe the most was somewhere around $56 million. I do have to give the board a great deal of credit throughout this process, and that's where we now arrive at the fact that the board listened to the public, and this vision became one that was due in large part to the fact that the public had thoughts about long-term visioning. You know, at one point in time, someone mentioned we ought to be thinking in terms of the next 50 years, and we should be considering the fact that maybe someday, in fact, we needed a new high school, so we should look for, rather than approximately 20 acres for a new elementary, we should be looking at 100 acres. And in fact, here we are with property in hand. The idea now being that if we start with a middle school, we are able to address the problem from two different directions. When we're taking a look at our capacity issues, we can alleviate overcrowding at our elementaries. We can, by taking out fifth and sixth grade and putting them in a new building, but we can also consider the safety issues and inefficiency of portable buildings by removing the portable buildings that are at Beale and at North. And then on the other side, the high school, as we continue to grow programming, we are out of space. We tell people time and again, we're out of closets. And by that, I in fact mean that we oftentimes would simply use a closet as an office if in fact that would be beneficial. But we have grown the programs, whether it's through the general ed classroom or if it's CTE, we have EL needs, we have special ed needs and so forth. We brought some of the vocational programs into Washington High School for the sole purpose of helping our students understand that there are many opportunities beyond high school, but they need to be exposed to these at this level. But I don't have another classroom that's vacant and to continue to expand the programming as the graduation requirements change as well. So in doing this, we will be able to take over some of that space at the junior high, as well as plan for the future, and we'll have available space when that time comes.
Man, well, you cannot sum it up any better than that. The crib note version is space is a problem, and Washington continues to grow, and we hear that as we've been having these ROI meetings with the Daviess County Economic Development Corporation and the need for housing in our community, as very few middle-income housing units are available at this time because more and more people are coming to Washington, which is a great thing. But with that being said, more and more students are enrolling in Washington Community Schools, which is also a great thing, right. But space becomes an issue.
It does. And if Washington is to continue to grow and we are to attract those individuals that will purchase those entry-level homes, bring the jobs, help the tax base and so forth, we need space. Our school district needs to be able to set a certain standard along with facilities and space and the programming as well. And we realize it really, one revolves around the other in this case.
It absolutely does. And you know, it was not a fly-by-night decision by any means, as you stressed earlier. This has been 2 years in the making. A lot of different community meetings have been held, even some breakout sessions where individuals broke into groups to discuss the many different options. And there were a lot on the table. But as you break it down to where we stand right now, you've got K through 4, and then in elementary, then you've got the new middle school, 5 through 8. And then the high school will then be 9 through 12. So right. 4 in each group, basically.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and with room, some room to grow, it simply depends upon how quickly Washington will evolve as a community. And as you mentioned, with the ROI meetings, we have sat on committees over the last few years as they look specifically at this part of the state of Indiana. And we know we can attribute that to I-69. And we all hope within this particular region of the state that the interstate will be completed one of these days so that it makes for quick access back and forth to Indianapolis. But Daviess County, as we've been told time and again, is one of only 4 areas within the state of Indiana that is anticipated to see growth. So no one really knows what that means. Time will tell. But we are poised to be placed in a portion of the state that, you know, factories potentially will want to come here. And in turn with that, we hope the housing market will improve as well.
Well, I want to go to the programs a little bit because I'm personally involved in one with the radio TV class at Washington High School. Love it. 5 years now, and we will have our biggest group starting next school year. As I had 30 sign up. We had to narrow it down to 20 only because of limited class size.
Right.
So we'd love to have each of those students that want to be a part of it next year, years down the line, to certainly be able to take the class. But that's just one example. But there's so many other cutting edge classes, like I know Mr. Riney's class. We've had him in to talk about that on the program before. What they're doing there with robotics and computer programming, it's just amazing what they're doing.
It really is. And I'm thrilled for the fact that Mr. Riney is so enthusiastic. He is really excited about the fact that this is a new endeavor for him, but he brings that type of excitement that we want for the school community in general. To think that, you know, next year we're adding cybersecurity. I don't believe I would have envisioned something like that a decade ago, but with that, with the robotics, He has shown me some of the clips of what the possibilities are. The problem currently becomes, there again, the space. He needs more square footage in a classroom space to be able to provide those hands-on activities to make this truly as successful as it possibly can be. And time and again, Washington High School is on the leading edge within this area. We're one of only a handful of school districts in the state that offer all three areas of Project Lead the Way, and that continues to expand.
And the STEM training, too. You know, everything is all about STEM now, and we continue to look for new programs that involve STEM training as well.
And that's district-wide. I've been pleased with the responsiveness of our elementary teachers on up over the last few years that have been willing to give up summer months. They have spent extensive time in training through IU for that alone, and they brought it back to the classrooms, and it changes the model and the approach of instruction towards STEM education in the schools.
Now, let me play devil's advocate for a moment. I know among the new parts of the building project would be a new football field and I believe a track facility. Is that correct?
That's one option, yes. You know, we realize we're limited on funds. The board did cap this project at $38 million. So the way we would approach this is the fact that there would be options as we provide a bid package for various companies. And we will have to take a look at what the dollar figures are when they come back in and then piece together the project. Obviously, we start with the fact we need the basic building. And then with whatever is left over, then we'll be able to get hopefully the track and the football field, but that's a wait and see prospect.
And with that being said, now being on the other side of things, the football field has a track around it right now, and we have over the years witnessed a lot of players pushed out of play onto that track and really become hurt. So it is certainly an issue that needs to be addressed.
It is. And as the board has once again listened to the public, they have expressed those types of sentiments, and they realize that without the facilities, we oftentimes will not attract the individuals into our school community that we would want.
Absolutely. So, again, we're covering a lot today. Dr. Dan Roach is our guest, the superintendent for Washington Community Schools. All right, now let me take the side of the taxpayer. And again, we're playing both sides, giving every kind of perspective out there, because I know you've heard them all. Mm-hmm. I'm a Joe taxpayer that my students have graduated. My son or daughter's graduated. I don't want my tax base to go up. How do you address that issue?
You know, there's not a one of us that likes to pay taxes. And yet, what I have found in speaking to many people, they realize we are here for a limited time. And if we are going to help that next generation, now is the time to do something to that effect. I can't tell someone specifically what their taxes will look like. What I would encourage them, keep watching the school district website, and there will be a tax calculator that will be placed on the website. We are working with a company, it used to be called Umbaugh & Associates out of Indianapolis. They have merged with another group, so now they are called Baker Tilly. They're going to put two different tax calculators on the website. We encourage them to do that only in the fact that we want individuals to have every opportunity to see what will this impact look like for them personally. And they are somehow drawing from the Daviess County Courthouse database, and you will be able to bring up your own personal information and figure out what the impact would look like for you individually, because I would not want to be held responsible for misleading someone when it comes to their own personal situation. So I'm encouraging everyone to continue to look at the website, take a look at how this will impact you. And for the average home, they calculated at an assessed value of $98,000. You know, it's going to be $100 a year or $150, I think, there again. That information with those examples are currently on the website. Please take a look at that, because we want everyone to go in this with eyes wide open. But we understand that somebody helped the current situation, helped the current group of individuals in all of our communities by footing the bill for the buildings that we currently have, so that we have programs in place, and that's ongoing. And we want everyone to recognize the fact that if this is going to succeed, it's only because we realize we're looking beyond on our own careers, our own lifetimes, and so forth, to help the group of kids we have now. They will be the adults making the decisions in the future for this community.
And we want them to stay here as well.
Absolutely.
And build and raise their families here and grab a good job here, which mm-hmm. hopefully we'll locate. And it all goes back to what we said earlier with the ROI meetings. When a factory, a business looks to grow and expand into a community, one of the core things they look at is the schools. Let's
face
it.
You know, and one of the things that I have found interesting coming to Washington 7 years ago, while we don't have a lot of factories sitting right at the I-69 corridor, there are many opportunities available. This is a great place to live, and individuals can actually commute. Interesting that not a lot of adults quite understand that 20 miles up the road at Crane Naval Base, there are just a plethora of opportunities available for individuals. They, in some cases, they don't need a formal education, but then in some situations, it's a 2-year degree or a 4-year degree, or in fact, if you're employed on base, they, in many cases, will help individuals further their education. So if we can get individuals, these current students, to understand you have opportunities and either leave but return to Washington, this is a community worth investing in and raising a family in.
It's an exciting time. It really is.
Yes.
You can't stress that enough. Lots of things going on, and it's all for the good. It's all for the future. So, again, just strap in the seatbelt and enjoy the ride, because I, for one, am really excited about what the future holds in this area. I really am.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we see many things happening throughout the community. And there again, once again, I mentioned the 69, but the bypass itself, I know that we're going to see development over time. We see the changes in Business 50 and so forth. Washington does seem to be on the verge of change.
Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left on the program today. A lot of great information about the school building project, and it's as transparent as you can be. And I know you're trying to keep that way as a board and as the administration and staff. Go on the website, watch the website. If you have any questions, you're always open to answer any questions as well.
We would really encourage individuals. One of the things, the way the legislature has established referendums and so forth, it is very critical that everyone understands our school personnel are limited in what they can say during the school day and so forth. They will attempt on their own time to give answers. But there are three of us at the central office: myself, the assistant superintendent, Kevin Frank, and business manager, Carrie Alford. By law, we are permitted during the school day to sit down with individuals and help explain the information. And we simply want to provide the facts the way they are. We realize there will be various opinions out there. We simply want everyone to recognize we have an issue. We have a solution that's been provided by input from various community members, and then everyone needs to make their own decision based upon that.
And that will be on the November ballot, correct?
It will, yes.
We did get the signatures needed to get that on board.
We did. There are several steps that are still continuing to play out. We need to meet with the county election board. Indianapolis has a role in this. Then it goes back to the county election. So it's just step by step. But at this point in time, we are on track to have the question on the ballot. And we are asking people to come out and you know, give their voice.
A few more things before we wrap it up and let you go. I want to talk about the start of the school year. It's just around the corner. It's hard to believe, but mm-hmm. we do have some sign-up dates, on-site registration dates set for those parents that like to sign up in person on-site.
Yes.
July 23rd and July 24th will be the dates this year, just a couple of weeks away, July 23rd, 24th, and that's going to be at the junior high, correct?
That is at the junior high. We have... used this particular location for the last several years. In many cases, that's for returning students if they choose to go that direction versus the online. And we haven't announced that window just yet. We are in the process of rolling over the data from the previous year. But so the rollout, once that occurs, we will announce the online registration, but everything else will be at the junior high. Obviously, if new students, they'll need to bring in their birth certificate, various documentation, and so forth, so that they can enroll their child.
Any open positions at Washington Community Schools for the start of the year? I know bus drivers. I know you're always looking for bus drivers.
We are always looking for bus drivers. I believe that, you know, we've been much more successful in the last couple of years, given the fact that we have taken over almost all of our transportation department. Now we have a location for it on the west side of town on Business 50. But they are always looking for individuals that are willing to be trained if they are not, they don't currently have their CDL. We're in the process of still hiring staff. But you know, one day we will think that we have every position filled, and then we will find out that we've had someone move.
Yeah, so you can go on the website for career opportunities, too. I always check back on that because you do post those job positions on the website as well. And anything else you would like to provide in the closing segment here on this week's Focus on the Community?
I don't know. It was interesting. Yesterday, I had Brian Hancock participate in the monthly podcast, and we were talking about the girls' tennis team and their successes particular year. So if anyone doesn't receive that podcast currently, go to the website and you can sign up for that. But it is definitely worth listening to, along with their academic success. Brian mentions that in the podcast. So you know, it's been a good spring for the school district and for the students and athletes and those involved in academics as well.
Lots going on and lots to still look forward to. Washington Community Schools and the first day to school is, did I read that right? Does it start on a Wednesday this year? Is that right?
It's the 7th, I believe. I'll have to go back and take a look at my calendar. We're a few days later than we have been the previous few years.
I believe it is a Wednesday, and then the first staff day is a Tuesday, if I read
it. That
right.
Could be. I will have to go back and look at the calendar.
But
it's on the website.
August 7th is the first official day back to school for students. The teachers report the day before, and it will be here before you know it. Summers get shorter and shorter.
It sure does.
Dr. Roach, great information this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's Focus on the Community.
Well, thank you.
Focus on the Community, presented by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. If you would like a podcast of today's show, all you have to do is visit our website at WAMWAMFM.com. Tune in each weekend here to WAMW as we shine a spotlight on an important topic to our community. It's Focus on the Community on WAMW.